Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So guys, right now at Green Mountain Dental Group, they are giving DNVR listeners, DNVR members, a free Sonicare toothbrush. All you got to do is schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. If you've never been to Green Mountain Dental Group, check it out. Our sales director, Lindsay, just had her wisdom teeth removed from Green Mountain Dental Group. She had a great experience. Tons of DNVR employees, tons of people on our staff go to Green Mountain Dental Group. So if you are in need of a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, schedule one at Green Mountain Dental Group. They will give you a free Sonicare toothbrush today.
Staying around Denver, one of the worst teams in the league, blocking guys out, according to Chris Marlowe's stat. What a pass right there for MPJ.
Post up Jamal Murray. We'll try it again. Another little fall away.
Right around Danny Green. Bye bye. Murray, tough shot, and he nails it.
That's feeling it right there.
Well, I don't know. It's more of a warrant. I don't know.
No, that this is a full air horn losers lounge.
I kind of agree with you. We're getting mixed comments, I see, and so I'm real curious. Everybody, we're trying to do a better show of reading some of the comments and stuff as things come up, so send them in. I want to know, what's everybody thinking? I feel
great.
I feel a little yucky, but mostly yucky. Very good.
Okay.
I think that's how I feel.
You just described my entire adult
life. Yeah, exactly.
If any other player hit that shot.
It's a little bummer.
Really,
it's a bummer.
But other than that, of course, an encouraging and fun night.
You know what, though? You see the difference between like a Kuzma and a LeBron in that moment? Because Kuzma's going crazy. And then LeBron's kind of like, dude, we just beat Kata Bates Diop barely. Edged him out barely.
We got bigger fish to fry.
Welcome in, everybody. Harrison Wind right now. He'll be joining us in just a moment. He's talking to Michael Malone right now. I wonder who else they're going to talk to today. I mean, who got the podium game from the Nuggets?
Do we hear from PJ Dozier today? Big game. Yeah. Obviously, big miss for
him. Could have been a little more composed, to be honest.
But a big game for him.
Yeah, it was big. We have a lot to talk about today. I mean, obviously, the game. But
yeah,
I always start
–
you know, I'm saying about some of the details, the players, this or that. But I think the main topic, the main takeaway for me is that last week the Nuggets threw a game to Portland. It sucked because it was Portland and it was Nurkic and he wanted all these gross feelings. Since then, every team in the bubble, or I guess I should say 50% of the teams in the bubble, have decided, you know what, playing every single day and play – or every other day and this, you know, this intensity, probably not smart. Let's be smart. Denver following suit.
I mean, players are getting injured.
They are getting injured.
We lost Ben Simmons. Did we lose Embiid?
It should be a minor injury, but he's missing that Suns game. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of players getting injured. So it makes sense to me. I just don't think you can be too upset about that, especially when, guys, Denver's young core has a young core. And to me, that's what this game is about. If we're calling this something of a glorified exhibition game, which I am, I'm calling it that. If we're calling it that, this went swimmingly for Denver's young core to get actual real minutes. They weren't going up against the Lakers' third core. They were going up against LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and they were going toe-to-toe.
The baby long boys, right?
The baby long
Dozier, Bull.
Kata Bates Diop, maybe a long boy?
Look, I understand it's like almost simulated preseason, but that's not... Those are no chumps. Those are the ones in Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah,
LeBron and Anthony Davis didn't want to lose that game.
Yo, that was their literal starting unit.
Hey, can I throw some shade really quick?
Please,
Anthony Davis, greatest player of all time in the first half. Where do you go in the second?
He's the anti-Yoke, isn't he? He's like every way. Yeah.
But let's get back to the Nuggets. Very, very exciting stuff from Bol Bol and PJ.
So what was your first takeaway? I mean, for me, it was the experience of the young guys.
My first takeaway was that Jamal Murray looked very shifty today.
Yeah.
Which is not a word I would use to describe him, but I do think applies to a lot of the guards we think he hopefully will become one day. Dame Lillard, Steph. These premier guards are just tough to stay in front of.
Yeah.
Still reluctant from three, Murray, but I thought tonight he looked tough to guard.
Yeah, I mean, Murray, really, the games that we've seen, including the scrimmage game, I just think he looks like a different player. You talk about shifty. I think shifty's part of it. To me, what stood out even more was the strength. Mm. He looks to me, I mean, he tried to John Starks the Lakers in this game, and he almost did. He was so close to it. But he's muscling guys. There was a play with Anthony Davis. He kind of gives him a little shoulder and, like, knocks him backwards.
Yeah.
To me, I think that's a really good thing. He's certainly opening up new parts of his game.
He definitely like got an old school haircut, and it came up with it like an old school game.
Is that what happened?
I don't know. You tell me. Yeah. That's what I'm watching. He's wearing a wristband. He's got an afro, and he's just like muscling guys in the paint, playing post.
Yeah. He really looks good, man. And I still think that some of the like Jokic, MPJ, Murray stuff is still like coming together. I think part of that, by the way, is Millsap and Torrey Craig. Tonight, Millsap was good. Millsap had some nice plays, but Torrey Craig tonight, man, it just felt like, how many times did it feel like the ball finds him? When you have this great lineup and there's things going on, it's like, oh, okay, of course it's Torrey tonight that he gets open. We complain about this too much, perhaps, but tonight it was really loud, I thought.
He's just like a muddy golden retriever running around through your kitchen. You know what I mean? You're like, Torrey, it's good to see you, but take a seat, buddy. Just find a corner and clean up.
His good plays are loud and his bad plays are so loud. And tonight, 0-3, I mean, in all three, those were shots that were like, okay, man, it's – we got to keep the defense honest. We'll see what happens.
And we should mention rough matchup defensively for Millsap. Got destroyed in that first half. This is a Jeremy Grant matchup. He was not available to go tonight.
Yeah, although somehow Paul Millsap scored every point. Like,
sure. He just cannot guard Anthony. He can't guard AD. Guys, I'm going to go out on a limb. The Nuggets are going to have a hard time with LeBron and Anthony Davis in a 7.
You know, they are, but they had a hard time with him tonight, and it didn't matter. I mean, I think we do this a lot when we talk about matchups of like, oh, well, can Denver guard them? But you know what? Denver now has Michael Porter Jr., who we haven't even mentioned yet. I'm going to mention him now. He goes 6 for 6. He plays 24 minutes. He scores 15 points in 24 minutes, which is kind of on pace with how he goes. And it was 6 for 6.
Unbelievable.
I mean, this guy still hasn't quite figured out how to involve himself in the offense, and the Nuggets haven't figured out how to involve him in the offense. I think it's a little bit of both. But at the same time, he gets 15 points because he just knows where to be and how to be there. And, you know, so he looked really great.
He's incredible. He looks incredible. I mean,
his jumper is just, you count it.
It's, oh my God. When it's on, I mean, it's on. And it's like, it was like, aggressively on, like it was aggressively going through the net every time he shot it.
So,
I don't know. I mean, that's the piece. Like we brought this up a million times all year. We're like, what's missing? What's the missing piece? It's just Michael Porter Jr. Like we had it the whole time. We knew it. We had it. It's here.
Missing piece might be Bol Bol. We're gonna talk about him. Oh, I'm sure here in a little bit. Are you seeing something there, Vogt, that you want to bring to our attention?
Well, I just, going back to your takeaway that the Nuggets core has a young core.
Yeah.
Chris Herring NBA, of course, tweeted, where does Denver rank in terms of developing its young guys into rotation players?
Oh, I
top
like
five,
this.
Top three. He follows up saying he'd probably go with Toronto 1, which I think is the right call.
Yeah.
But he says Denver's in the convo for second. What do you think?
Because Boston, who else are they going to try to throw in there? I mean, I don't know. I don't know who the other ones would be, but you look at it. I mean, Denver's misses over the last 5 years include Yusuf Nurkic, who, by the way, is awesome. He just it was a miss that he didn't fit in here, you know, in Denver. Moutier, they had to take him at that pick, but I think he just, like, nobody's been able to develop him. You get a lot of guys, Gary Harris. You just get a lot of guys that have really far out exceeded. Even Monte Morris tonight is, I think, played great, was a great story. PJ Dozier. So you get a lot of these.
Because people are hearing comments through the
mics.
So
Mute your computer.
We'll do it live.
Sorry for the bings through the computer.
Sorry
through
the bings. I think that's a great point. I always wonder about, you never really know if it's great scouting or great player development. I think it's always both. I think anytime you have sustained success, it's not any one thing. But I'm with it. Eric, what do you think, man?
I'm just so proud of these Denver Nuggets.
I know.
What a great game.
I know.
They really just, like, they had no business being in that fourth quarter. Like, that should have just, by all rights, been a Lakers, just a victory lap. They left their starters in the entire time.
Yeah. The Lakers needed this one. Just to feel good about themselves. And guess what? They got the win, but they don't feel good about themselves.
The craziest thing was watching Kyle Kuzma celebrate.
That's what I'm saying.
And then in the locker room, he's continuing to celebrate. It's like
Do
honestly, one
tweet?
Of the more pathetic things I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean,
chance he knows who Kata Bates Diop is.
He does now.
We had an all-time quote from Kyle Kuzma post-game. I'm going to stall.
No way.
See if my producer can get it up here.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but he's asked about taking this final shot. I think Jesus could be in front of me, and I would probably still shoot.
So,
on a scale of 1 to what the hell does that mean? Where does that mean anything?
It doesn't. No, I kind of almost like it.
Me too, man.
Hold, I need to let that one wash over me for a minute. I think Jesus could be in front of me, and I'd still shoot.
That's an ugly one. Can you imagine if like Jamal Murray drained a shot over, I don't know, Quinn Cook at the buzzer after like LeBron sat at halftime and then was like,
he's like,
Murray mentality. I'm built for this, man.
He's like, bring on Buddha. Yeah. I'll take him to the hole.
Let's talk about Michael Porter's game a little bit here. 6 for 6, 3 from 3.
What
from
a loser.
They were all early on, though. The one thing I will say about MPJ is his points come in bunches.
Yeah.
I thought you were bringing that up right now. But. Why do we have Christmas music?
Christmas
somebody
music
bought
going
Christmas
on.
Music at the bar?
Seems a little premature.
It's a very distracted loser's lounge
Bull
here.
Bull is under the tree.
But Michael Porter Jr. tonight, I mean, one thing, if we're going to try to look at the silver cloud here, to a gray cloud to a gray lining to a silver cloud here, I think it would be that, he still hasn't quite fully found his rhythm, in my opinion, inside of the offense.
Well, you're talking MPJ?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's Christmas music playing.
It's really difficult to focus.
We're talking about scoring over Jesus, and Christmas music is playing. I was a little distracted. Yes, MPJ could be worked in even better, and he still went 6 for 6 and scored, I think, 2 points for every minute he was on the court. Like,
yeah.
And we're talking about he's still, like, not fully integrated into the offense. Like, I don't even know what that looks like.
Yeah.
He's scoring all of his points in the first and fourth quarters.
Yeah.
And tonight he didn't get to go in the fourth.
Yeah.
But that's okay, right? I mean, if he's going to find ways to be complimentary, i.e. focus on D, crash the glass, then he can just sort of be that middling impact guy in the second and third quarters. They're just going to need to look to him once, twice a game and say, hey, can you get lava hot? The answer is a resounding yes.
And the other thing about this game was Malone mixed up the rotation a little bit, and I don't think that was for strategic purposes. I think it was because he was trying to limit everybody to 25 minutes or less. And so I think that maybe threw things off. Usually Michael Porter would kind of come in opposite Jokic and do this stuff, and it wasn't the case today for whatever reason. I'll be honest, guys, when I'm watching this game live, especially in the first half, and at halftime you guys were like, oh, this is great, Phil, this is... I was watching it, and I go, man, I just feel uncomfortable because it's such a mix of – you could even feel in the first half of they're not trying to lose, but they're also not trying to win. And there was this weird tension. So for me, the fact that they just fully ripped the court on it was like, you know what, we're just not trying to win. Let's give these guys some run. To me, felt so much better. But I do wonder – there's 2 games left in this bubble. I do wonder, like, what is the strategy from here? I mean, what are you trying to accomplish with these
just
two
Just to have
games?
Your players not get hurt.
That's goal number. I really do think that's goal number one.
That is.
Especially, look, Malone's facing this head on because he's seen Will Barton get hurt. He's seen Gary Harris get hurt. He's looking around and seeing, oh, Philadelphia wanted to win a championship this year. Second best players out for the season.
Right.
I see people in my mentions saying this is BS. This is loser's mentality. Guys, we talked about player development. The Nuggets are one of the best teams at player development. This is player development.
Right, yes.
It's
great
not
point.
Always just behind the scenes. Nuggets, you know, you have a G League. It's not just practice. Sometimes it's knowing, hey, we saw Jamal Murray off the bench. We saw Michael Porter Jr. We saw Nikola Jokic standing and cheering these guys, saying, you're going up against the best in the league, the
and
best in the Western Conference. We're giving you this opportunity. To me, this isn't loser's mentality. This is winner's mentality.
And even with the loss, how much more confident, of course, do PJ and Monte and Bull have to be playing together now? And the other thing is, if they get the win in that fashion, much like the Portland game, that's such an injection of life, not just into the young guys, but the entire locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You want to have that BDE that the Nuggets frankly don't have. And the best way to get it is to roll out your second unit and beat a team that's playing really hard. So he gave us that Utah game as a treat. But I actually think for the most part, he's been consistent.
Yeah.
He recognizes the value in giving these guys this run.
Well, it's a mix, right? I mean, you just come off of a big game like that. Then you go into this. Like, I just think it's a mix. You get a little bit. The Nuggets are getting a little bit of everything right now.
You know, the NBA is giving us a little bit of everything. I can't believe that with only 8 games, like, we're already gotten into, like, an actual slog with these games. I mean, they're just – now I'm like, can we just get to the playoffs? Like, nobody cares. Like, you don't really know what to expect out of any team except for that their good players are probably not going to play a realistic amount of minutes that they normally would. But, I mean, my God, like – if you want to, I mean, I don't know when else you could get these type of minutes, this type of experience for players like Kata Bates Diop.
You can't. You honestly players cannot like replicate this.
No, you to go up against toe-to-toe with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and not cower in any way, but actually take it to them.
And it's funny because the Lakers, if any team, could afford to use these games as complete, like, get guys minutes. And they can't do that because their starters have looked so bad that they're just, you know, they're just whatever. But, if you go now, let's talk about Jokic's game, because I think that he played another – I wouldn't call it passive, but he just played another game. Like, he knew he was playing 25 minutes tonight and was like, I'm going to go out there and kind of get my cardio, kind of get the ball where I'm supposed to go. I mean, Malone is, I think, driving the ship in terms of the intensity level. Where this is seeing the bigger picture. But I think Malone's, like, sort of quarterbacking that on the court of – I'm going to try to get some points over here for MPJ. I'm going to try to get Jamal Murray going in the post. I mean, tonight we saw Murray in the post a lot. I think Malone and Jokic kind of both sort of know exactly the moment they're in.
It is funny. Like, the Nuggets are being oddly coy about these 8 games. Like,
really coy.
You would think that they would be desperate to get as much chemistry going as possible, but they're really just like... I mean, yeah. I don't know. I really hope it doesn't blow up in their face.
Well, part of it, though, is let's say hypothetically those guys come back for the last game. That's your last chance to see these guys together at all before high leverage minutes.
Yeah.
So it's not just injuries. I mean, you don't want Jokic and Jamal to be too tired even, right? Right. You just want to be able to get all 5 of these guys out.
Look, this is the number one thing I was worried about. Honestly, even coming into this game, this is why the first half I was feeling so uncomfortable about it, is I'm thinking Michael Porter Jr. has played 680 minutes all season. He's played like 250 of those inside the bubble. I mean, he's played so many minutes. Okay, it wasn't that high. But he's played a lot of minutes inside the bubble, including like back-to-back-to-back 35-minute games. Like, I think getting those guys rest is just so important. And they got meaningful minutes, only 24 of them, and meaningful rest. And now you're just in a really great spot. Guys, we're burying the lead here, though, I feel a little bit.
Really?
I feel like we're burying the lead. Because every chance we get to see Bol Bol play is a win. I don't care the circumstance.
That's
a win.
That's the lead. That's the lead.
I think it is the lead. You know, is it not one of the leads tonight that Bol Bol got on the court and he continues to not look? His numbers. I don't know if they're going to pop up. I actually haven't even looked at him. 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Okay, that's all right. Well, one block shot. How do you only have one block shot? He had like 3.
The number one comment I've seen go through the messages here is that according to Kyle Kuzma, Bol Bol is Jesus.
You know what?
That's a great point.
You know what? That is a phenomenal point. That's
Kyle
a
Kuzma,
really good
the
point.
Worst person you know just made a great
wow,
point.
Wow, that is true. And a worst person did. No, but guys, the thing about Bol Bol is whenever you get a player like that, you worry about them being a sideshow or do they not have this?
Yeah.
Bol Bol has now, in every game he's played in, he's raw. He's going to have a development curve that, you know, it's not guaranteed he's going to hit it. But the skill set, undeniable, in my opinion. We're now starting to see passing out of his game, which I just would never have. You know, I knew he could throw. I knew he could throw some passes, but he was in the G League for how many games and had like zero assists?
I think it's zero assists.
Yeah, like 12 games, zero assists. You see him here, and these assists aren't like lucked into him. That one-handed. Do we have that clip, by the way? Can we play that with the one-handed full court press pass from Bol Bol?
He dribbles so funny, man.
I know.
It's like comes from the side
because his arms are so stinking long. I don't know. I just. What do you think, Vaughn? I mean, I'm so impressed with what I've seen from him.
Me too. And I think people are plugging Bol Bol into the wrong equations.
Look at this thing. Like, look at this. Look at this laser.
Let's take a look at this pass.
One dribble. Oh, man.
I mean, that's
like on.
That's Jokic shit right
there. It honestly is. Like, Jokic stuff here. It's a fastball. It's right on the money. It wasn't like, you know, Plumlee had to go get it. It hits him like. This is more of a baseball, not quite a football pass. This is like a baseball throw.
And look, I mean, if Bol gets drafted to Charlotte, you're thinking, what's the timeline before he becomes like a 2010 and three guy? Oh. That's what we need him to be.
Super Bol pass.
In Denver, Bol does not need to become a star or a second or third option. If he can be on the court alongside the other 2 7-footers with guard skills, eventually, where do you put guys defensively?
I actually think this is a big reason why Michael Porter has been able to develop the way that he has, because we talk about it tonight. Michael Porter can get 15 points in a million different ways.
Right.
But he's going 6 for 6.
Right.
I put this out the other day. He has the same true shooting percentage as Zion Williamson. His efficiency has been so incredible, I think, because the Nuggets have been able to say, we don't need you to do these dumb things. We need you to do the right things and kind of play within yourself, and we'll expand it over time. And I think with Bol Bol, you're going to get a lot of that. Again, it's on him to kind of work and put in the work and do this. None of this is guaranteed with him especially. But I do think that it's, we don't need you to make home run plays. We don't need you to do this. We need you to drain wide open threes. And sometimes contested threes because you're so tall.
You know, the other thing about Bol Bol is that his demeanor is so flat.
It is, yeah.
His heart rate does not rise, and it doesn't rise in the court either. Like,
yeah.
He really,
very
like,
calm,
he's
yeah.
Very, like, at all points, he never seems like he's, you know what, I'm going to call him Bol Posure.
Oh, God. Well, and even within the fourth quarter,
we're workshopping that one.
No, but really, I mean, like, he just, like, you can just tell his heart rate does not rise. Like,
well, and this is why I thought the fourth quarter was so important, playing him in these high leverage moments. He gets in there, he turns down two open threes right off the bat.
Yeah.
What happens by the end of the corner? Oh, that's right, I should shoot that by the end of the corner. Yeah. I should shoot this.
Right.
And so even within 12 minutes, he sort of got more comfortable and learned that, like, hey, man, we want you to be you. If you're open in the corner, let it fly.
And there are moments where he looks really unsure of himself. Sure. I mean, he fouled LeBron on a drive today. That's like one of those rookie fouls where it's like, no, you're not going to stop LeBron when he gets that momentum. So just don't foul on those moments. But I don't know. I'm just so impressed with him. Every time he plays, I keep waiting for him to turn back into a pumpkin, and he doesn't. What do you got?
Sorry, David McMenamin just tweeted, we've got the Lakers game store. Keep stall for me. I'll get this.
So you got a good
it's
one?
It's just a great lead-in tweet for if you didn't see this game, man.
Yeah, what are the comments saying here?
Well, our man Edgar says that we won by 35 if we're going by the David East scoreboard.
It's a great callback.
From David, Kuzma hit the shot, but Vogel came up with the ATO. He said he only used it once before this season. It's just like,
oh, are you saying the Nuggets brought out like the one of their go-to back pocket ATOs in a meaningless game with PJ Dozier and
the 800 word ESPN story?
Lakers
on that
fans
Kuzma
are so great,
shot.
Man. They're so hilarious. They're honestly they're the absolute best.
Isn't it crazy that the one seed Lakers?
Oh, hell yeah.
Thanks,
oh,
bro.
Look at this, a bucket loser, of
yeah,
beers.
Sure. I didn't drive here or anything. You know?
Loser snub noses.
Manager Mark, man, the bar manager here at DNVR, a true unsung hero. An unsung
can
hero.
It's time to sing for our hero.
Can we drink to the Lakers having LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the court in crunch time? The one-seeded Lakers and the Denver Nuggets having bigger fish to fry, man. I'll drink to that
it.
All day.
I will
day.
Drink to that as
all
well.
Day.
No, I don't know. Bol Bol, another guy that I think we have to talk about here, and I never would have guessed we would have to talk about him. This is shocking me even to say it. I'm impressed with Kata Bates-Diop tonight. I'm impressed with Kata Bates-Diop.
We were not impressed
that
with
that was
him
an
early.
Evolving opinion.
Look, I've never been I've never been impressed with him before, and I don't mean this like meanly, but we haven't seen really anything from him. Tonight, I thought he showed some stuff.
Sorry, what? Someone, a commenter wants to know, on the Nick Wright scale, how many championships is this for LeBron?
Oh, man.
That's so true.
Think about the resolve. He had to come back against the he was outmatched, outgunned by the team.
And he's in the bubble, LeBron.
Yeah,
he's
in the
bubble.
Wow.
Right now. Do you know how
yeah.
hard that must be?
He was going up against a player that was 8 inches taller than him, and he still managed to pull it out.
Just the king of climbing adversity.
Just incredible. No, but Kata, I'm being serious. Vote. Are you with? Am I overstating that? I thought Kata Bates-Diop looked like a player tonight.
He did. He looked like a player against LeBron Raymond James in the fourth quarter. I was unimpressed to start the game.
Very unimpressed.
But then you start to see that sort of, I guess, unorthodox skill set that Dane Moore described to us. Coming over from the T-Wolves, like it's almost that Kyle Anderson. He's a little quicker, but he looks so weird. You just don't know what to expect. Slithery around the rim.
Yeah, I mean, earlier I think I would have been a little bit more reserved, but now I've had one quarter of a beer. So
there we go.
Time to let it fly.
What's the KBD nickname? NBD.
Yeah, NBD.
There we go.
KBD, NBD. He was really, really terrible. I was laughing at almost everything he did. And then he just started making baskets.
And
then he hit that three-pointer, and I was like, is KBD my favorite player? I think he might be.
Man, that shot does not look like it's a repeatable motion.
No, it does not.
It went in. Yeah, he looked good, man.
Another player I think we have to talk about, PJ Dozier. We mentioned him just a little bit, but last second free throw aside, goes 5 of 7 tonight. 18 points. He's actually a team high 18 points tonight. 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And you know what's funny? His name is the name that kept popping up on the timeline tonight. Everybody kind of talking about how much they love the tools. I think when he's knocking down shots, PJ Dozier looks like a starting point guard.
He looked good. He looked really good tonight.
But I mean a starting point guard. I think Monte Morris always looks like a backup point guard.
Yeah.
Like a really good one.
Yeah.
I don't mean that as condescendingly.
That's a physical thing.
It's a physical thing, but it's also a skill set. Like Monte Morris isn't getting you 35 points. You know, he's not doing that. But tonight I thought P.J. Dozier looked like a guy that was a physical sort of problem, and I think a lot of that has to do with he hit shots. He's 2-for-2 from three tonight. He's not going to do that. And I think sometimes we fool ourselves into saying, is he going to be turned into a shooter? But it's nice to know that that really is the barrier for him.
He's also willing. And, I mean, the other side of that sword is like, all right, maybe holster that one next time. But you know what? If you're on the third unit against the Lakers, someone's got to take the shots. And P.J.'s not afraid. So he'll pick up a few points just by – just by like picking it up when everyone else is
around. I think I see a guest in our midst here.
Oh, thank God,
somebody who would like to relitigate all the points we have already discussed so far.
Does the Peloton like involve the arms at all? Because you look jacked.
Yeah,
dude.
Harrison's putting us all this.
you want a microphone for your conversation here? All right, so Harrison, I'm actually really curious to hear what Michael Malone had to say after the game on this one. Like, what was his general vibe? Was he upbeat?
Yeah, he was upbeat. It was a little similar to the Utah game, to be honest. Just super proud of his bench.
Yeah.
Was he laughing at Kyle Kuzma like the rest of us? No? Okay, well.
Did you guys already talk about Kyle Kuzma's quote?
The Jesus quote?
Yeah, about Jesus.
There you are,
that
Wynn.
Probably led
is.
The show.
Yeah.
No, he was super complimentary of his bench. PJ Dozier, who I think was our DraftKings king of the game.
Oh, no doubt.
Like that plug.
We haven't got to it yet. Yeah, we haven't got to that yet.
All right. Bol Bol also. I got some good stuff on him. And look, I think the Nuggets now have a lot more confidence in their bench than they did when the seeding round started.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about silver linings for the last 2 weeks, but one of them is definitely that this Nuggets bench, you know, you put them in the game, and I think you feel more confident now than you did like 2 weeks ago.
The one thing about that is the Nuggets bench gets better when Will Barton and Gary Harris are part of it, or Torrey Craig and you know, Jeremy Grant are part of it. I mean, the Nuggets had a strong showing tonight, and it didn't include guys that are probably going to be a part of that rotation, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe how good I feel in this loser's lounge.
I know. It's really a vibe. It's a vibe.
I feel great.
I'm chilling.
Great vibe around the Nuggets right now. Really good vibe. So what else do you have to say, Harrison? I mean, he talked about PJ Dozier.
Yeah, so I mean, you're looking at PJ Dozier, right? Kind of one of the guys who's on the a borderline playoff rotation guy. You know, maybe some nights he could be in the rotation, some nights he could be out. He's kind of like a swing guy. But I think, I mean, we know Michael Malone loves some P.J. Dozier.
Yeah.
He loves P.J. Dozier.
He's a Malone type. Yeah, he's a Malone type.
He loves his length. And I feel that Malone is pretty confident if he had to play P.J. Dozier playoff minutes. And I wouldn't be surprised if he is playing playoff minutes.
I would be surprised.
Yeah?
I mean, if everybody's healthy, I'd be a little surprised, I think.
Did Troy Daniels play tonight at all?
No.
Was he on the injury report? Or did
He just did not play. Yeah, Tyler Cook, Noah Vonleh, and Troy Daniels, all DNPs.
But think about it, guys. When Gary Harris and Will Barton get back, I don't think they're going to be playing 30 minutes a night. So you're probably going to need an extra guard. And, I mean, P.J. Dozier is definitely that guy. I think he could be playing like 10 minutes a game when that first round starts.
Yeah, I can see it.
I mean, it's all about his jumper to me. You know, I mean, he knocked down shots. Let's be honest, guys. If he doesn't go 2-for-2, if he goes 0-for-2, which is what I would have predicted if he shot 2 threes, I think it's a completely different sort of feel for him because I love so much of his game.
Yeah.
I love his pick and roll play. Yeah. I love his defense, you know. I love it, obviously his size like everybody talks about. But if he can't knock down the open shot, then it's kind of all – it's not wasted. It's just that he's not that valuable.
Well, yeah, that's why P.J. Dozier was a free agent. You know,
it's why he's bounced
around to a couple teams before Denver.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I want to hear from about Bol Bol. I want to hear about all the other things that was talked about from Malone. But before we do, why don't we hit our first break? You can go up and cue the music. We'll take a quick break. And on the other side, I can't wait to hear what people said about what Malone's. Who else talked?
Jamal talked and Monte talked.
We haven't talked about Jamal enough either. So we'll take a break and we'll talk about them on the other side.
Yeah, DNVR, we talk about Denver sports and we talk about Breck beer.
Those are the two things we talk about. We're really dropping the ball tonight.
I'm drinking a mango mosaic again. If that sounds familiar, it's because I do it every time I come here.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be at this bar to get the Brecks on draft. You want to try to check out that Mile High Copper City Lager. Mile High City Copper Lager.
Yeah, there it is.
15 can pack. If you don't know where to find it, just check out the Breck Brew locator. Just Google that. It'll show you the nearest location where you can pick up that sweet, sweet Breck goodness.
So sweet.
We also have to talk about WGT Golf.
Best mobile golf game in the world.
Can we skip this one?
The official sponsor of DNVR Gaming.
Should I go hole by hole on my
Yeah, Wynn, how'd you do? How'd you do in the big drive?
I think it was sixth overall.
You were sixth.
That's not even that good.
It's pretty good.
Hey, man,
it's
pretty top good. Tens it's all, pretty good. That's all that counts.
There's always a staff winner. You were the staff winner this week, right?
We played it while we were here last time, and it was a lot of fun. WGT and the company of others.
It was actually, it was... In Eric theory, fun. I didn't have any fun at all.
Eric was in the bunker nonstop. I love WGT. I'm so glad it's a part of DNVR.
Hey, who, guy, do you know off the top of your head who won?
Yes, Zach Stickle. My guy is actually a buddy of mine. Wow. Sticks. Sticks. 2266.
Get on Twitter.
Sticks. His first win. Congrats.
Big time. That's it.
That's it. All right, so we're back here, obviously, and we're presented, of course, guys, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, another place that's actually on fire right now.
It's about to air horn.
Baby. Absolutely. Use promo code DNVR20. They've got so many crazy things going on. What was the deal today where somebody was like $76 free?
So the way that it worked is if you placed a bet of any kind on the game tonight between the Nuggets and the Lakers, you would then get a free bet that was $1 for every 1,000 people that also bet. And
oh wow!
As RK reported, it ended up getting somewhere in the neighborhood of like $72.
That's crazy.
So we'll get like a
$72 free.
Oh yeah! So I'm gonna bet $72 on something absurd.
We keep saying this, but the DraftKings thing right now, it is kind of crazy. Like the deals are so nuts. They're just giving money away because they want to hook you in before they take it away. So get well, in, get
mission
in quick.
Accomplished.
Mission accomplished. DraftKings. All right, Harrison. So Bowl was discussed, I assume.
Yeah, a lot of Bowl chatter tonight.
Okay,
a lot of Bowl chatter. I asked Mike Malone specifically about the full court assist that he had, and Malone said that was one of two passes he's had over the last week that he did not know were in his arsenal.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I didn't. There's not that many players that have that in their arsenal. Not that many centers, I should say.
So that was notable. And then everybody was just impressed with how Bowl battled. I mean, he was going up against Dwight Howard for a lot of this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got pushed around a little bit, but he stayed with it. And, I mean, these reps are just so valuable for him. He definitely wouldn't be getting them, you know, under normal circumstances, or maybe be getting a little bit. But everybody was just impressed with how he battled, how he stayed with it. And Monte Morris had a funny quote. He was like, the future looks pretty good.
Yeah,
I'd say so.
I think the future looks really nice. Here's the thing about Bol Bol. We were talking about his upside a little bit earlier. I was sold on Michael Porter Jr.'s upside after watching him play for, I don't know, 20 minutes. I was just like, this guy's like a superstar.
Yeah.
With Bol Bol, I think it's a little tougher, in part because as much as Jokic is a unicorn, Michael Porter Jr. is a unicorn, Bol Bol's like, he's something completely different. He's like even more unique. Like his skill set is so outside the box that I just don't quite have my head around it.
Yeah. And I, like Malone said, I don't think the Nuggets really do either. They're just kind of throwing him out there and be like, oh, we can do this. Oh, we did that.
I mean, my hope is that
he's... Play him here. Oh, we can play a 2-3 zone with Bull in the middle and actually be pretty effective.
Yeah, how about that zone? By the way, if you listen to Keeping It 1000 with George Karl, which I really enjoyed. Man, I'm telling you, I had high hopes for it. Exceeded my high hopes.
I've been around you absorbing some of the compliments. Like,
yeah.
People are like, that was a great pod. I'm like,
George Karl is so good. Like, he really, you can tell he really enjoys the Nuggets. Like, he's like... He's got notes on every nugget, and it was just great. And
he's got time.
He's got time, yeah. He's got like, time. I'm telling
but
you.
The number one response I've heard from people is that they really enjoyed his use of the word we when
that's
discussing
true.
The Nuggets.
Yep, I did catch that. I did enjoy that. Ooh. Oh, he talks about
right,
it as
did.
We.
Yeah,
he's still,
yeah.
And I like that. You know, I'm telling you, I have a personal message here for the Kroenke family.
Oh.
Yeah, George probably pissed at me if I even say that. He did not ask me that. I just, as a fan, George Karl belongs in the club. We have the in the club. We don't have the in the club gravity. He belongs in the club. I don't like when there's like a family member.
I would say we
there.
Belong in the club, including George Karl.
I think it's time to welcome George Karl right back to George. Pepsi Center for a game.
It's time. It's past due.
Wind statue.
I will offer one of my seats.
Not quite.
One of my season tickets for one game, obviously. To George Karl.
Oh wow, that's very generous of you.
I'm sure you
anyway,
need
so
it.
check that out. The Keep It at 1,000. I don't even remember why I brought that up. I think I just shoehorned it in.
You did. Absolutely. Yeah, it was just rough.
It was the zone. It was the two.
Oh, it was the
zone.
Here's
how good
one of you paid
and,
attention.
It bothered the Lakers.
It might be Denver's go-to defense with Bol.
Well,
I wonder
the Nuggets' man-to-man defense hasn't been great during the seeding game.
That's
so
good. Yeah. Very good point.
None of the defense has been
But no, I mean, they bothered the Lakers, man. This was like a get-right game for L.A. I don't know.
They're not
they,
right.
Did they get right?
I don't know. Not.
They couldn't get right against Bull and the Nuggets reserves.
I do want to make sure we hit the questions this show. So I
yeah.
One,
all right,
one question from our guys, Secret Life of Mine. Why the hell did AD and LeBron play so many minutes tonight?
It was so confusing.
It's because the Lakers have been the worst offense in the bubble. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the bubble. I don't know if there's concern, but there's some definite red flags that they're like, all right, we got to at least get some chemistry. We got to play a good game.
Well, they played a risky little game tonight. Like, had they lost to the Denver Nuggets, like, B-minus
Oh, man,
squad?
Their psyche might have really collapsed. You're right. That might have saved their any hope of their season.
Yeah, at a certain point, they had no choice, right? Yeah. But to see that through. It
you
really
can't,
was
that's
true.
So funny.
Hey, look, you guys know I'm not, like, I'm not someone who thinks the Suns or the Blazers are going to give the Lakers a hard time, but they need to see themselves play well right now, as much as anyone.
I wouldn't mind if they don't.
Yeah.
they did shoot today. Another sort of, if you want to look at silver linings here, they did shoot 48% from three. Of course, Denver shot 56% from three, but the Lakers still 48% from three and, you know, barely eked by.
Well, look how high scoring this game was, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that might be the key for Denver. They're going to give up a lot of threes. They're going to give up a lot of points, but how this team is playing right now, they're just going to have to outscore everybody.
Yeah. We only went over this briefly, guys, but I know I'm going to get yelled at if we don't talk about it. The king of the game, I know you said earlier, PJ Dozier. Is there an argument for any other player?
I mean, based on how the first quarter went, it looked like it was going to be another Michael Porter Jr.
It did look like that early on. I actually am, it sounds like I got outnumbered here, so Dozier already has it, but I'm going to go with another point guard. I thought Jamal Murray tonight, I just liked what I saw. I mean, again, he played like he knew he wasn't going to play in a lot of minutes, but he goes 6-10, 14 points, and I just, those were tough buckets, man. I mean, those were big boy buckets that going up against a defense designed to try to stop him.
Yeah.
Put their best defender on perimeter defender on him, and he'd made it look easy. So I'm really encouraged. What about you, Wind? How encouraged or discouraged are you by what you've seen from Jamal in the two games he's been healthy?
Very encouraged, and maybe the most encouraging aspect is Jamal's proved that he doesn't really need a big ramp-up period.
Clearly.
He came off the, like, he came
stays ready
from not playing in any of the previous two scrimmages, played in the last scrimmage, looked great. And then didn't really need any tune-up games to look really good in these last couple
His
for Denver.
Shot looks so pure.
On the topic of the tough buckets that he was getting, I asked Jamal tonight about how his strength, how his added muscle is helping his game. Is it helping his game? And he said it definitely is. And
you
the first thing he said, which I thought was really interesting, he said he learned in the playoffs last year that you need to be able to switch 1 through 5. You need to be able to hold yourself in the post against opposing guards and other bigs. You obviously need to be strong in a playoff. So I think the playoff run last year really influenced that decision, or at least that's kind of how he led tonight.
Yeah.
That's interesting that he was looking at that from the defensive perspective. That's where it would help him, and that's where he throws on. That's, I suppose, encouraging.
Yeah.
How do we have here? So we had some highlights now. Oh, these are just game highlights. Okay, we can play rate the highlight, sure. Do we not have any player highlights?
Unless you
want to
watch LeBron and Kuzma.
That's right. Anytime you play the Lakers, House of Highlights just gets the LeBron and Kuzma highlights. Yeah, we can do rate the highlight here. We like to, because there was some, honestly, there were some fire highlights in this game.
There were
some fire ones. If you're in the comments, let us know. Send them, as we rate these, you rate them right there along with us.
We'll tell you why you're wrong.
We'll tell you why you're wrong, especially if you're David East.
Burn in hell, David East.
A little aggressive. A little tough.
I've had a beer.
What do we got here? What's our first one? Surprise us. I see Michael Porter. Oh, yeah. So, you know what? I already know. Yeah. I know you guys won't quite give this one as high as I do, but I'm going for it. I'm going for it.
I'll give it an 8.
I'm giving it a 9. You know why? Look at this thing. It's just a normal. But what I like about it is that's the you see that Jokic pause where he looks at you?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
The thing he does every pass?
That's telepathy. That's telepathy. They have a telepathic.
The word of the day on the NBA.
Telepathy. That was Jokic looking at him and saying with his eyes and his mind.
David East has given this a 10.
He's given it a 10, yeah.
They should get that action. They should get that layup for Porter 3-4 times a game.
I'm joking a little bit, but I'm also being serious. Like, it's important for those guys to be able to establish that level of chemistry, that kind of just like, hey, I'm looking at you, know what that means, right? Boom, got it, layup. And they have it. They already have it.
That's why I give it a 7.
We got a routine.
Routine, okay, all right.
8 from Ramstein Savage. We're all kind of
right. A little mounted. All right, give us something better. The people want better, guy. Let's see what we got here. I don't even remember this one. Monte, a little Hezzy. Oh,
a little Hezzy.
Oh, we got.
Oh, there's the Kata Bates Diop.
Kata Bates Diop. I love that we have a Kata Bates Diop 3.
I'm going 10 here.
This is so funny.
Like
a Kata Bates Diop 3-pointer.
I'm going 10. This might be the only 3 we get from KBD.
It really
might. So I'm going
10. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Dejected.
LeBron's like, dejected. Do you guys know who that is?
Yo, he really looked bad. That's amazing.
I went 7. I don't know if we've already seen this, but I was like, 105. All right, what else we got, guy?
The
right, bring the real heat.
Play.
Bring
I'm
the real heat.
10.
We got here.
Oh, we already talked about this one. Are you kidding
me?
I knew at the moment of this, the video started. Are you kidding
me?
This is straight fire, man. Oh, my God. You got to love this one. I mean, come on. That's a 10. That's a fire. What do you have, Vote? Look at this. Look at his arms. One dribble. Woo. Boom. Like that wasn't – he doesn't aim. That's just instinct. That's just natural.
Do you know the ancient machine, the atlatl?
Yes, of course. That's what he has?
As an arm, yeah.
The what? Can we pull that up?
Yeah, atlatl. Is that how you say it? It's like where the spear goes on the end of the thing.
Yeah, you put the spear on the end of a stick so that
– Oh, yeah. I used to have one of those, actually.
You did.
Oh,
okay.
So what else is going on?
I must have known that Harrison at one point in his life – oh, look at – well, you got it right here. Look at this thing. This is a great reference.
There
yeah.
it is. There's Bulls.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, but I swear. Like middle school field trip.
So funny.
Somehow awesome. I took one home.
You took like the Joe Rogan show. From a field trip? Where did you take a field trip to?
Boulder is crazy.
Must learn some weird things there. Yep, there it is. Right there is the.
That's just Harrison's dad.
That does look like Harrison's dad. That looks an awful lot like Harrison's dad.
Is that not, I thought that was Michael Malone.
That's my dad with a lot more hair.
All right, what else we got, guy? Let's rate some more highlights. This is fun. Vote for Millsap.
Vote for Millsap.
All right, a little post. Man, this is a really slow highlight. Sure. It's like it feels so
it's
dramatic.
It's gonna be good.
Oh man.
I love when his signature move is just shooting over your head. You know.
You know what?
Nothing
but net.
So I'm going 9 here. I'm going 9.
I'm gonna go 8.
The difficulty on this shot is crazy. It's absolutely absurd.
It looked pretty easy to me.
But I don't know how difficult it is for MPJ.
Ooh, that's very the thing.
I'm gonna go a 5 on this because I am spoiled and I'm already used to it.
You're already used to it. It's
not even
so true.
I'm like, man, I'm jaded.
I remember all of his threes being wide open, and then I look at this and I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, like, even contested it's
better.
Still, yeah,
better.
It's incredible. the other thing, subtle thing I like about this, MPJ shields the ball very well on that. Mm. He brings it up. Very nice shield.
Nice.
We got any more, guys?
Nice little detail.
I feel like we got some. Ooh. Right, Monte dancing. Oh my God, this one. Oh, I love this one.
And
oh my goodness, are
Where's
you kidding me?
One? Every
are you kidding me?
A foul. Every single one.
Every. Oh my God, this is a 10. This is a 10 to me.
When atlatls attack.
Atlatls attack. Yeah, that
I'm
last
going,
one was
I'll go
an atlatl. How is this a 9? Here's the thing about that. Deion Waiters, is that who's guarding him? Deion Waiters on this one is actually defending him fully.
What's wrong with you, Harrison?
This is an easy shot for a ball.
Oh, my God.
That's a walk in the park.
Guys, I have an honest question here. We joke about the long boy. It's a little joke, but we're also being serious.
Who's joking?
But, I mean, it's like a... It's a little joke, but a little serious. But the more we see Michael Porter Jr. say, Danny Green, you're too short. Bull, Deion Waiters, you're too short. I don't need to be open. There's something to it, man. You put him, Jokic, and Bull in the same court together, and it's like somebody is going to have a wide open three no matter how many guys you throw at them.
Because they're so tall?
Because they're so tall.
We're talking about their bodies?
We are talking about their bodies. We are talking about the male form here. Do we have it? Is it time?
Is it time for the male?
Oh, producer's dropping the ball here. Where is this at? We need some hot keys. What is going on? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh, like he doesn't. He sent you. Oh, he doesn't even have it.
It's all right. We'll find another totally organic and smooth.
Hey, yo! Anybody that wants to be a producer for the show, just put and drop your resume in the chat here.
Wow.
That is your point though, Adam, is why I gave both those shots a 10 because the Nuggets have not had that in the Jokic era, and going into the playoffs, they have one guy in MPJ, maybe going forward too, that can just say, "I don't care about your defense.
Yeah,
here's 3 points.
Yeah. Screw small ball." Don't see the appeal. Don't
tall,
it.
Ball. Tall ball. Tall ball it is.
All right, we're back, baby. Let's kidding, go.
Oh, yeah. Well, the moment's gone. Yeah. There it is. The male form corner.
Male form.
I think this graphic went a little too far.
I think I might get canceled.
Yeah.
I might get canceled
you
from this graphic. And I didn't even
That's
have a hand
a little
in it.
Too far.
I think this is actually the best thing I've ever done.
We should take a down.
I'm a little uncomfortable.
I saw the Statue David this summer. It was last summer.
Nobody screenshot that and post it to Twitter.
Let's take one last break. One last break. On the other side of this break, though, guys, let's look ahead.
Command F4.
I want to see where the Nuggets go from here when we come back. And then get to our questions. You guys have some real hard-hitting questions. Hopefully, I feel like you haven't done a great job of it. Eric, you promised that we would be on the questions. I haven't. I mean,
well, we have a lot of comments. We don't have as many questions.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, well, we got Green Mountain Dental. Green Mountain Dental Group.
Change your life. This is one's favorite read. Let's go.
No, it is my favorite read because it's. I think the Sonicare toothbrush is arguably the best perk that any of our sponsors have. Any debate?
What about getting drunk? Huh.
I mean, a $75 electric toothbrush is not a bad perk.
I get free CBD coffee, but we'll do that in another read.
Yeah, but you guys can get a free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental Group if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. They're located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver.
Do it.
They're Denver through and through, just like us. So hit up Green Mountain Dental Group, get a free Sonicare toothbrush today. And we got Strava as well.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. I love this bar for a lot of reasons, but the fact that we have Strava Craft Coffee cold brew on tap.
It's so cool.
This was like a pipe dream that I mentioned on a podcast like a year ago, or right when we got the news that we were getting the bar.
Fever dream.
I was like, you know what would be really cool if we had Strava Craft Coffee on tap?
Yeah. Here we are.
Sure enough.
Starting to think spoke I it into am existence. In fact dreaming. Just like the world's ending, but we have the dopest lives of all time. It's like a really
just
rough reconcile.
Just speak things into existence and you never know. You guys can get 20% off Strava Craft Coffee online with the code DNVR20.
Subscription service, too. So you can now get 20% off every purchase, not just the flat fee with that code. And you can choose whether they're sending that coffee to you every 2, 4, 6, or 8 weeks.
Wow.
Dope.
Customization. Love it.
Dope. All right. So I want to look ahead now, guys, because the Nuggets, I mean, the playoffs begin this weekend. It's kind of so weird to say. It's the bubble. The first portion of the bubble is almost over. I feel like we just started.
We did just start.
I just put my feet up.
I gotta say, thank God it's almost over.
Well,
we're in full slog mode at this point.
Like, we've hit the bubble malaise.
By like a week and a half from now, we're gonna be like almost through the first round. These things are just moving so quickly. We gotta savor it while we can. But what do you want to see out of the Nuggets these last two games? Number one, Harrison, they haven't locked up the 3 seed, I don't believe. They're still in contention. Could be 3, could be 4.
Yeah.
Do you think that matters?
I mean, I think it does. I seem to think it matters more than most.
Can I give you a take? I know this game isn't completely representative, but I don't think the Lakers are completely vulnerable, and I think the Clippers are really good. So when we're talking about you got to avoid the Lakers in that second round, I mean, getting the Clippers in the second round is not exactly like...
Right.
You know, they're going to be heavy underdogs no matter what into those
I'm
series.
I'm more
so
concerned about the first round matchup than choosing between the Lakers and Clippers, to be honest.
But it looks like the Nuggets will probably almost certainly avoid Houston, right? They're going to be either the 3 in Houston, the 4, or they're going to be 4 in Houston, the 3. So I don't know that I'm as worried about the Lakers. Like, I think the Lakers would beat Denver. I still think Denver's heavy underdogs. I just don't know that it's, we got to do a bunch of crazy things to make sure that happens.
I also think, too, if Houston were to catch them and Denver falls to the 4, they would get OKC as of now on the 5, right?
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right.
And that's not a matchup you fear at all.
Although they lost today.
If you're Denver.
On purpose.
So
yeah, or Utah.
But that's the other thing, too. Everyone is doing this. There's so many moving pieces. It's just like, I know Malone has done this before, but I really think he's just focused on coaching right now.
Well, tonight for sure. Yeah. I mean, tonight for sure was a case of Jamal Murray even said that when he went out of the game in the third quarter, he was begging Michael Malone to give him 4 more minutes in the fourth. He wants to get back out there.
I'm sure.
And Malone was just like, I mean, nah. I mean, we're rolling with the bench.
I have to say, like, before the bubble started, I feared every team. Like, I just didn't feel confident about the Nuggets at all. And now there's, like, a good portion of teams that I'm not scared of even a little bit.
Oh, I'm scared a little bit because I'm always scared. But I do have one question, though. To that point, I'll feel a lot better if Michael Porter Jr. looks like he does, Jamal Murray looks like he has, Jokic looks like the best version of himself, which I don't think we've seen all those things kind of at the same time. But there hasn't exactly been a lot of opportunity for that. But I'd feel a lot better if you get at least one of Will Barton and Gary Harris back and a little bit of minutes, and you solidify, okay, here are the guys that are playing. I mean, we love Bol Bol, but I don't know that he's playing come playoff time. So, I would love to see at least one game, and preferably two, where we at least get a half where we're like, okay, that's the rotation. Those are the guys. Yeah. That's the chemistry that you need with this year.
I don't think we're going to get that. I mean,
there was a report tonight from Jared Greenberg, who was doing the sideline report.
NBA TV,
That he
knows
said,
Malone very well, by the way. I'm not saying that's his source, but Him and Michael Malone, old Brooklyn guy, or old New York guy.
Where Brooklyn at?
Interesting tidbit. Yeah. But he reported that there's hope that the Nuggets get Gary Harris and Will Barton back for their last seeding game. Eighth and final seeding game against the Raptors. Bright and early 1:30 start time, East Coast. But maybe for a half, we're not going to see it for like three quarters, I don't think. But maybe for a half, we get a little bit of a dress rehearsal. You know, we see what Barton has. We see what Harris has. Because Denver has really missed Gary Harris's defense. Out of all of the skills that Will Barton and Gary Harris bring, I think his on-ball defense is what they miss the most, because Denver's just been like a swinging door on the perimeter. But maybe we get a quarter of a dress rehearsal with those guys in the lineup on Friday.
That would be incredible. That would be absolutely incredible. So, I've got some questions here. You want
to
answer questions?
Let's get to some of them.
Okay, here's a question. Let's see. Thoughts on a Jamal, MPJ, Bol, Grant, Jokic lineup?
I mean, that's the long boy. It's funny you ask this, because we've talked. It's a good question, but
we're for it.
We're for it. Yeah. Yes, we're for that lineup.
Thumbs up.
It's really long. It's maybe not your main lineup, but it might work.
Imagine those five guys in a zone, man.
Yes, I'll just
trade off. I have Twitter questions too.
Okay, so you got a Twitter question.
Yeah, so we were just touching on this, but the Bruce 58. Wanted to know, does this performance establish that the Nuggets shouldn't be scared of anyone in the playoffs? I'm still scared of the LA teams.
Scared's doing a lot of work though there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I actually don't think scared. There's a difference between being an underdog and being scared. I don't think the Nuggets are scared. I think they're like, yeah, you know what, Lakers, you got LeBron. He's better than any of us.
Yeah,
whatever.
Totally.
You got Kawhi, whatever. Yeah. But we are not afraid, and we're going at you, and we lose. But we're not – and I think that's just where Denver's at now. Whereas last year, I think they weren't. I think last year Denver was probably like, we don't want Houston.
Yeah, and this game, look, nobody's going to really remember this game in 2 weeks, but I think the Nuggets will if they match up with the Lakers in the playoffs.
I like that take.
That's interesting. I like that.
They played with them. Their bench – and Bol Bol played with LeBron, Davis, and the Lakers' closing lineup. So I think Nuggets have a lot more confidence if they were to go up against LA after this game, even though it's kind of meaningless.
Here's the only thing I'll say. I just don't feel like we've seen Denver put their foot on the gas pedal yet. I don't know if we've seen the Lakers either, but I'd like to see what Denver looks like when it's like it's go time. We saw Jokic take over. We saw Jamal and Jokic take over. But we haven't seen that like, oh, this is the Nuggets. This is what they look like.
I have full confidence in any first-round matchup, though.
Wow.
Me too.
I'm with it. I'm with you.
Let's go. Guys. I have confidence in your guys' confidence.
Thank you. Thank you.
What else we got?
Let's see. Who would be at the front of a zone in a long boy lineup?
Oh, man. That's a great question.
Jamal and Porter.
Yeah. Oh, man. Porter. I don't know. Jamal and Grant. Actually, it's Jamal and Grant. Because who do you need to – so you're going to have Bol Bol in there.
That's a good point.
You're going to have Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. rebounding. And by the way, Porter – one of his weaknesses defensively, he can't stay in front of people. I think Jeremy Grant can stay in front of people. Jamal's at least a guard.
Yeah.
I think that's how it matches
that's
up.
That's a good point.
And I think you own the glass.
That was one of the disappointments of tonight, that Jeremy Grant didn't play, in my opinion. Yeah. I was kind of looking forward to seeing how he would defend
LeBron and Anthony Davis.
So Jamal Murray season wants to know, of the starters that do play in these next two games, how many minutes do we think they play?
That's another great question.
I would say probably about tonight.
Yeah.
I don't. I think they play a lot of minutes on Wednesday. I think they play a lot.
I think
on Friday they don't. I think they got one more. I think they got one more sort of go at it.
Yeah. And
especially against a team like the Clippers, who's really, you know, it's a good test. You measure yourself
there.
This
Clippers game is fascinating. It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. Clippers, by the way, also sort of like don't quite know what they have. I mean, all these teams, man, there's so many questions.
Here's a hard-hitting question. Is Murray's gains the cause of his injury? Derwin Brown wants to know.
It would be irresponsible of us to even really, you know.
I'll answer the question. No.
Okay.
Next. Wow. All right.
So we have a lot of different forms of this. Is the championship window even more open than we thought? What's the time frame, do you think, on a potential Nuggets title?
So I'll answer this one first. Yes. But that's not saying much, because I thought it was open like 2%. So now it's open. I still think the Nuggets are like, I don't know, 8%. You know, it's not that much. They're still a massive underdog. But I do think that Porter elevates their any given game. Would you be surprised if Porter has like a 40-point game in a playoff series? I wouldn't.
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't, frankly.
I would not be disappointed if he doesn't.
I'd move my goalposts 100%.
That would be moving him a lot. But I do feel, and I think that it's the slimmest it will be open of any point in the next 2 or 3 years.
There you go.
So going beyond that is always tough. More. But look, Michael Porter's going to get stronger. He's going to get better. Jamal Murray's going to get better. Jokic going to be, you know, going to get better. Now I think one other thing that this does is I think the Nuggets perhaps have more clarity than at any point before.
Oh, for sure.
You know, okay, you knew Jokic was your guy 4 years ago, right?
Well, this is what I was talking about. Remember when Calvin Booth did an interview a couple weeks ago, and he was like, yeah, our core of Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr.
He's not wrong.
And I think I was talking with Vogt about this, but they've never really had that three-man defined core. It's always been – okay, Jokic, Jamal, and is Gary in there? Like,
right,
maybe.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Or even before Jamal, it was like, okay, it's Jokic, Gary, maybe it's Will. Like, they've never had the three-man core as defined as right now.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about looking ahead to next year. Next year, I think next year is the year.
Next year is the year? Wow, already. Here's the thing is, you got a three-man main core. You got Bol Bol's an interesting guy. Now you start to look at, okay, what's the perfect piece around those three? Fitting two players in is nearly as hard as fitting three, four, five, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Once you say, okay, those are our three guys, what are their weaknesses? Boom, let's shore it up with the right pieces. And I just think, you know, Tim Connelly has his work cut out because, let's be honest, most of the work he's done has been in the draft, and I don't think that's where the next steps are.
Well, it's always tougher to go from this point to the next level than it is from the level the Nuggets were at here.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I think they've already gone, like, they're already on those steps.
They're on their way.
They're in the final, like, finding a third wheel is really hard, and they've already got it.
I think as long as MPJ is healthy alongside Nikola Jokic, you're a contender starting right now.
I love when Eric does the starting deep right breath.
Dude, sometimes I hear things that just hit a little different.
I've thought the Nuggets would lose in the second round all year. That was my prediction coming into the season. But I think we have entered why not territory.
I don't
think it's likely, but I'm asking the question.
I can wrap up here, guys. Northwest Division champs 2 years in a row.
Hang the banner, baby.
Scale of 1 to 10. How meaningful is that to you, Eric?
It means something, honestly. Like, I mean, the Northwest Division is a little bit in shambles since the.
Is it?
I mean,
it's a good division.
Portland, Oklahoma City, Utah.
Portland had a really bad year.
The Timberwolves are, but that's a bad year. All right.
The Timberwolves are in shambles. OKC should be in shambles. They traded their entire team away for draft picks. They're definitely in a rebuild.
And one of the best point guards of all time.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not great. I mean, they're not a great team. Like, so, but it says a lot that the Nuggets are just, in my opinion, head and shoulders above all of those other teams. Like, it's meaningful. Like, it just shows that during the Brian Shaw era, I would have been ecstatic.
Oh, man, a Northwest Division,
champion. So 2 years in a row, like, it's just up and up and up. Like, we're not skipping any steps, and we keep taking them.
So the last time a team in this division won consecutive years, it was the Thunder, right, when they won it, like, four straight seasons. I like that because I like the Thunder comp as a small market team that may sort of slide into the national darling kind of
Michael Porter
kind
of bringing them in
with
there.
MPJ, very KD sort of approximate. And you've got some crazy hits in the draft for a franchise that probably would not have signed guys of this echelon. I think it's something. I think it's the start of a 4-year run that's very similar.
Did you see today that the headline when they were previewing the game was Michael Porter Jr., not Nikola Jokic. It was LeBron
and MPJ.
Probably
should have been Kata Bates-Diop.
Yeah, it might have been. Harrison, are you proud of the Northwest Division?
I think it's super meaningful, man. I think it's super meaningful. And it's just a sign of growth, but also the two consecutive titles, the going back to back, it's a sign of staying power. And I mean, they're the team to beat.
Yeah.
Well, Guy, what was Nemanja's question? Oh boy. Don't have it. I saw a guy put in the chat that Nemanja had a question.
Oh yeah.
Malone wanted no part of this overtime, guys. Malone wanted no
answer.
And it was the right decision. I really do believe that. If you're not going to go for the win by putting Jokic, Murray, and MPJ out there, then don't go for the tie to go into overtime. Just get out of there and be happy with what you got. You can cue that outro music, fellas.
But they probably should have shot it through.
That would have been incredible, though, if he called timeout and then put Jokic in for just the last.
Just the last one, he drains it, and then he's like,
they probably should have shot a three at the end.
Oh, you didn't like that bowl alley-oop down three at the buzzer?
Well, this was a lot of fun, guys. For a loser's lounge, it was as good as it could be. It's interesting. We're getting so close. This week, we will wrap up the bubble, the seeding round of the bubble, and we will get into the playoffs.
We never have to say the word seeding game again.
Oh, I probably I plan never to. As after Friday, I plan to never say that again. We're going to be back here on Wednesday, guys. The Nuggets and the Clippers, another great test. I can't wait. No matter what happens, I'm curious to see. And we'll be right back here. We hope you join us.
I'm not leaving here. I'll be here the whole time.
We will be here the whole time. In the meantime, we're going to have player grades up. We're going to have a story on the game up. We're going to have an episode of The List. We got all kinds of great stuff for our DNVR members. Only $5 a month, guys. Don't forget to subscribe. And, yeah, we'll see you all then. Thanks. Adios, everybody.
Go Nugs.